This is Will's Band of the Week for June 20th, 2022. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Reese from, what do we call it, just Portland Studios?
I think we decided on that. We decided, or maybe the West Coast Bureau or something.
But yeah, we're trying to
come up. I'm not the only one here.
I'm kind of not that good at coming up with cool names. So it's just Reese, and he's in Portland. And he just came back from the ocean in time to record. That was nice
yeah,
of you to come
seaside.
Back. Oh, my God. Seaside, that's cool. Let's see, is that where I was? I think so.
Shout out to Angelina's Pizza, if you're there, you know.
So
that person ordering pizza was me today.
Do you know this trivia? Is Seaside where the Hood to Coast relay race ends?
I think so.
It seems like it is. So, I mean, I ran in that relay race with a team of 12 people in... I think it was 1994, maybe. That's a long time ago.
Yeah,
but it's cool. For any of you out there, if you run at all, they have these things called distance relay races. And what a cool thing. So it was about pretty close to 200 miles total, but then it's 12 people on the team. And you run through your rotation three times. So you're still running pretty far in a race that long. It's about, I think it must average like 18 miles a person or whatever. But, you know, divided by three. So you're running a bunch of 10Ks, basically. Back in the old days, I could run that far. And, you know, you go overnight and everything, and then you end up on the beach in Seaside, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
Does it end at Cannon Beach or somewhere around there?
I don't know. Is that the big beach in Seaside? I'm remembering it being Seaside. It goes through Portland, like in the middle of the night. You run through Portland, and then there's a shorter version of it called Portland to Coast. At least they had it back then. If you didn't want to do the whole 200 miles, you could just do like half of it and start in
just
Portland.
From the hood.
So anyway, cool. I'm glad you were there. That's super cool. Reese, can we announce on the podcast that you're now? Reese and then a comma BFA.
Oh yeah, I guess we can.
You got the
right?
title now. That is so cool. Congratulations to Reese for some long years of hard work and resulting in a BFA degree. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Anyone hiring print techs in the Pacific Coast region, you know, hit me up, guys. I'll gladly pull your prints for you, to all the people who understand what that means.
Cool. Well, we might as well. We probably don't do enough self-promotion on this podcast. So, I mean,
that's why I'm getting on here, Dad.
Yeah, it's the only reason you're doing it.
All about promotion.
Yeah,
for
that's
me.
True.
You know, I gotta get my my likes and favorites up on all my social media platforms.
Well, if we provide a value of greater than $0. You know, there could be somebody listening, and they'll be thinking, you know, I was going to break even, but that was worth 50 cents. And they'll be so happy about that, they'll maybe want to do you a little favor, career favor.
Yeah.
So anybody, contact us at willsband@yahoo.com. I'll forward all the job offers to Reese.
I expect there will be at least, you know, 10-plus offers.
Should be at least 10. I would think at least a minimum of 10, yeah. Yeah. Really cool. So that's great, Reese. So congratulations on that. And now you're just, you know, at the moment you're a free agent in the art world. And one of the things you can do in the art world is extremely critical commentary on today's music, which you're going to do, right?
Yeah. It's a serious critique session we're going to have here. You know, don't be afraid, you know, if some musicians end up crying before finishing this podcast. It's a very, very stern and authentic critique now that I have a BFA. You know, I can't pull any punches.
You know, when somebody releases a bad song, we can't just let that go, right? I mean, we got to say it. That song's bad. Yeah, so the artists this week, they should probably be, they're probably a little bit scared right now because it is pretty scary to be judged by us. Before we get to the featured bands, do we have any live reports? Or sometimes we do, if we haven't seen a live band, we talk about the shows that we missed or sometimes what we bought tickets for, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know
I have that.
Let's hear it.
I bought a ticket to see this band that we're reviewing, Dead.
Oh, cool.
And it was during finals week, so I didn't end up going. But, you know, as far as the, you know, build accounts are concerned, I did go because I got the ticket. So I like to think that monetarily speaking, I was there in spirit.
I was when you first said that, I thought you were gonna get to see him, but now I remember that you were thinking of going, and then it was right in the middle of your crazy final semester stressful push, right?
I missed out. You know, they played with this other band called Pixel Grip, which just has a great opening track to their 2021 album called Alpha Pussy, which I think, you know, very different vibe than Dead, but I reminisce and think of what that concert could have been like if I was there. I imagine it was great. So
I don't really think there's shame in buying a ticket, and if you miss the show, you've just, at least you've donated to the band. It's like buying their album on Bandcamp or something. Although I guess they probably, the concert ticket, they're not going to get as much money from that as they would if you bought their album on Bandcamp, because Bandcamp only takes like 15%, right? Or if you buy it on the special Bandcamp Friday, they take nothing, right?
Yeah, so do they? I don't know if they're still doing that. Are they? I think it's like a more exclusive thing now that
I think they announced a few more of them, but they did a whole bunch of them during COVID. We're still in COVID, kind of, sort of, right?
Yeah, well, you know, there's everyone's still dying, but we're not talking about it as much, so it
right.
doesn't
yeah. That's probably about right. Yeah. All right. Oh, and then we were thinking about going to that show in Atlantic City, and I think we kind of mutually decided it was so much trouble to go that far to see one show, but both Proto Martyr and the Ravenettes are on the bill. So I hope all of our friends who are closer to Atlantic City, it's in, I think, the last weekend, maybe the last Saturday of September. It's called Frantic City. So people should go to that. So I bought some tickets for that, and I think I'm going to have no problem reselling them, because they already sold out the VIP tickets, and they're already going for like crazy, crazy amounts. So I'm going to try to game the system.
There's also... There's Pickathon in Portland.
That's like
one of the.
I've heard of that.
I think it's a bluegrass. It's a bluegrass like event, apparently, but also it has like podcasts going on it too, or like not, yeah, like podcasters, or I guess having live shows there too. So,
don't they have some indie rockers at that too, though?
I think they do. I haven't checked out the schedule, because I briefly looked and the tickets are like $200 or something for a day, so nothing that stood out to me, but you know, if you're into that, that's definitely something you need to check out.
Well, if Proto Martyr and the Ravenettes play, I'll buy a ticket for you.
Yeah, you know, that's, if take a break from the slots if you're in Atlantic City to see that, you know, that'll be worth your time. I think
we'll find another show to go to together. Maybe I'm kind of hoping, this is very hard to do. It seems like Craig can do it somehow, but to plan travel to coincide with your favorite bands playing live, I find that pretty difficult to do. But you know, if and when one of my favorites comes to Portland, that'd be a fun time to try to arrange a visit around that time.
Yeah.
So So those are our non-live reports. Oh, I did buy some tickets, though. You know, mm-hmm. I bought tickets to see the soon-to-be legendary Radiohead side project, The Smile. So they, you know, when Radiohead plays, they, I mean, they're total arena rock. They might be even stadium rock, but maybe not. I don't know. What would they play? I think of them as like an arena band where like 20,000 people would go see them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the side project has two of the Radiohead members, and I think it's like pretty similar caliber. Like it's really good stuff. We've talked about it recently on the podcast, and they're doing a mm-hmm. like a small venue tour. So they're playing at the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee. So I snagged a couple tickets for that. It's in late November, so I'm kind of excited. I think it's going to be cool. I've never seen Radiohead live, and I think this new material is really good. So that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to take your brother to see Cola in July. Yep,
that'll be fun.
And then we also got tickets for Porridge Radio in September. So there you go. There's my lineup. Craig sees like a dozen bands a week. And I've got tickets for like 5 shows in the next 4 months, 3 months. it's not the same scale. We got tickets for Peter Hook and The Light in August too. So I'm pretty excited about all these things I've got tickets for, and there will be more. There will be more. All right. Let's see. No deaths, I don't think, that we need to talk about. So that's good.
There, did you mention, was it Dave Smith who died a while ago, a couple weeks ago?
Is that the synthesizer guy?
Yeah, one of the synthesizer guys died. That's not like, I think it was Dave Smith. It was either Dave Smith or Tom Oberheim.
Hmm.
My bad to all the synth nerds
who are
hearing this slander of me not knowing the correct correct person. Yeah, it was Dave Smith, May 31st. So, you know, rest in peace. Shout out to the Prophet 5, the iconic synthesizer, and just Sequential Instruments as a company, you know. I think you had is Matrix 6 from, or that's Oberheim.
I had, you know what I had? I had a drum machine, a Sequential Circuits drum machine.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
just found the article. Dave Smith, a key figure in the development of synth technology in the 70s and 80s, has died.
I think he invented MIDI. I think he's part of that invention. So, you know,
it says,
all you DAW users.
With Sequential, originally known as Sequential Circuits, Smith released various sequencers and programmers to be used with the Moog and ARP synthesizers prevalent at the time before designing his own release, the Prophet 5, first polyphonic synth with programmable memory to allow sounds to be stored and re-accessed at any time. The Prophet 5 quickly became the gold standard in its field, used in the recording both of Michael Jackson's Thriller and Madonna's Like a Virgin.
Oh my gosh.
And envelope-pushing scores for era composers like John Carpenter and Vangelis.
Yep.
So there you go.
Another
wow.
Guy died. Vangelis died.
Oh, he did. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, just when this is what happens whenever I say there were no deaths, then somebody always brings up some pretty significant ones. So they should probably get the jingle. This is going to be late, but we're just going to play it for him for out of respect.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's time for the death of the week.
R.I.P. Dave Smith, synthesizer pioneer. Yeah, that's super significant, actually. I mean, I knew that he had, like, there were those rebranded Dave Smith synthesizers that at your favorite store. So should we tell the cool people? If you go to Portland and you're into synthesizers, oh, my God, right?
We do have a store specializing in that called Control Voltage that's... I guess you could call it a synth store, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's kind of
totally.
Their market.
Yep, totally.
Have like Eurorack stuff, but then also, like you said, Dave Smith stuff. I was talking to them, and I was asking them why they don't have ADAC, which is a I think French company synthesizer, or maybe Portugal. But anyways, they say that because it's a too big of an initial investment. So if you're in Portland, go in the store and say, geez, I sure wish there was an ADAC fixed filter bank in this store. And if enough people just yell that at the owners, then maybe they'll stock that and then I'll be able to get that in the far future. So
they just need one guy to go in there. They need the initial investment, right? They need one guy to go in there and say, if you will carry this brand, I will spend $10,000 immediately on this brand. And that's what they need, right?
Yeah.
A benefactor of some sort. Something all right, like very cool. Wow, that's a good one, Reese. Excellent. Okay, so let's start rocking. I think it's a good week to have just two bands. We're late because of the near catastrophic failure. Have we talked about that yet, or did we talk about that just before we started recording?
Before you recorded.
Yeah. So we're a day late because we had an equipment malfunction, which is partially operator malfunction, but I went through all these diagnostics and I finally figured it out. But we do have a little bit of some aging equipment. The equipment ages along with the rockers, you know? Mm-hmm. So aging equipment. It's like the equipment can't stay up out late, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got it working again. I'm not really sure if it's like totally stable, but I think for the moment it's working. So that's good, right?
Yeah.
So we'll have a Monday night release instead of a Sunday evening release this week. The listeners will still get, well, do you think they're going to get greater than $0? I think they're going to. I just feel
I
like
think they will.
Feel pretty good
I think
about
greater
it.
Greater than zero, you know, that's a bar we can raise above. We can rise above.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, did you know this is the fourth album by Dead? I think you probably would know that because you always go back. You're great about that. Like, you have an artist that you like. I remember you were playing the old U.S. Girls albums for me.
Yeah,
you've got all the you've got all the old Alex G albums that you go back to, and and so I didn't know about I think I haven't heard the first one, but then I've heard the second, third, and fourth ones.
Yeah,
this is Dead from Chicago, spelled D E H D, and they're kind of. What are they? I think they've got a cool combination of kind of surfy, twangy guitar and catchy, punchy pop tunes, and it all comes together pretty well.
Yeah, I agree. Someone today said that one of their songs sounds like ABBA.
Oh, interesting.
which I don't know if I get. Yeah, I'd say more punky. Yeah, surfy ABBA, but definitely, you know, you have that. There's a light that comes from the West Coast, but it's still grounded, I think, in Chicago, and still grounded with grunge. And I don't know, just general great album. I think there's some really it's a good variety of, you know, energetic songs and then more slow emo songs or emotional songs. So
yeah. The new album is called Blue Skies, and Reese is going to pick the first track that we're going to play.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to start off with track 11, Empty in My Mind.
Empty in my mind. Between
That's Dead. The album is 13 songs, 33 minutes. You can't beat that, right? It's just well-paced.
It's really the, I don't know, it's coming up on the perfect length of an album, I think. I think just over 30 minutes is kind of a sweet spot for me.
So one thing that proves I like the album is I picked four possible tracks. And that one wasn't even one of them, and now I listen to it, and I'm like, yeah, that's really solid.
Yeah, I have three tracks that I really love from this album that I all wanted to play. I'm wondering what your four are, though.
Yeah, we're going to see if we have some overlap here. I hope we have some. Not that we need to, because it's really a solid album. But you know one thing about that? It's really simple in a way. Just guitar, bass, drums, you know? Mm-hmm. But that it's really recorded well, and they really make a cool sound together, I think, don't they?
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of like Best Coast and the way they structure their like songs and lyrics, where it's sort of subtly, I don't know the right word, but simple but still complex in the same way, where I don't know what I'm saying. It's good, and I'm a fan.
Yeah. So I picked four, and I didn't really have like a super strong order, but I'll play the one that I listed first. That was number five, Hold. Not the whole song. There was like another 1 second of fade out. That whole thing is 1:54, nice and concise, and there's a little bit of that New Order sound in there. So of course I'm going to love that one.
Yeah. Should I pick another one?
Yeah, keep on rocking.
So I don't know if this was like a term when you were my age. But is definitely one for like when a song is catchy and good, you would call it a bop. So I'm going to play track three, Bop.
Love.
Yeah. Catchy and fun, whatever you said about it.
Yeah.
So bop, you know, to me, it's even an older term of like 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Like bop being like kind of bouncy, I don't know, maybe fast drumming or something. There's, of course, the famous Ramones song called Blitzkrieg Bop.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a band, I think when I was in college, and they were a local band. They were called Dr. Bop and the Headliners. Some Madison historian is going to remember Dr. Bop and the Headliners. So, yeah, that word's out there, and it seems about right. Yeah.
So what's the name for a word when it's spelled the same way it's like pronounced, or
give, I know what you're getting at.
Yeah.
It's like the word is descriptive sort of
the sound.
Meaning. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not like wording that well, but yeah.
Pow or bam or blammo.
Exactly.
Or
yeah.
All good stuff.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah.
Well, we played really short ones, so maybe why don't you pick a bonus track? We can bump it up to 4 tracks for this album. Okay. You had so many.
Oh, okay.
I've got 3 more, so let's see if you pick one that I had on my list.
Okay, then I'm going to do track 8, Palomino. Is that one you had?
I'll divulge that after we play it. Another atmospheric track. Another good one, and it wasn't on my list either. So amazing. Amazing.
Oh my God.
I'll tell you the ones.
Songs,
these are the ones that I didn't get to play. I like number 2, Bad Love. Mm-hmm. I like number 9, Waterfall. And I really like the last track, No Difference. I mean, this is just full of catchy, good tracks, right? People need to listen.
Yeah.
Right?
Those are all good tracks.
Did we do it justice?
I think we did. I just looked it up. Palomino is a type of like coat on a horse, like typically consisting of gold, a gold coat and a white mane and tail.
Oh.
And there's also a bar in Milwaukee called Palomino. So
that's probably more important.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I would not have been able to. I would have told you that it's a familiar term, and I would not be able to define it. So now I've learned something.
We're all about education on Will's Band of the Week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. you get your greater than $0 just by, you know, in so many different ways, I guess is what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
All right, check out this Dead album. It's pretty great when you're four albums in, you're still rocking, and it still kind of feels like they're on an upward trajectory, right? Where there are more people appreciating their music. So I can vouch for the three that I've heard. I've another band I would love to see live. So I need them on a silver platter. They need to come to Madison. Speaking of bands in Madison, I should have mentioned this in the music news. By some metric, which you'd think this would be pretty objective, just count the number of ticket sales, and maybe that's it. But over the past year, maybe it was 2021, the venue, the Sylvie in Madison, which I like to joke, I call it Arena Rock, because to me it's a very large venue, and it's borderline, you know, too big for when you're accustomed to watching bands in small clubs, you know. But they always say the artists appreciate the intimate venue. Like, perspective is interesting. Anyway, number six in the world in, I guess it's ticket sales in last year, maybe, the Sylvie in Madison. So I guess there was something to it when I kept saying, all these bands are playing here and they're selling out. And I've never heard of them, but they're selling out. So I guess they know how to book the right bands. And we've got enough young people who want to see bands. We always say it's probably because of the big employer in town, Epic Systems. They employ a lot of young people and pay them a lot of money. So that's probably why they're, I don't know, I'm just speculating.
That's a good way to start a economy.
Yeah. So, well, if anything in the economy is going to do well, I guess we hope it's music, right? If something's got to, that money's got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Check out Dead from Chicago, up and coming cool band. And that's it. That's what we're going to say. Mm-hmm. There should be music when we go to the next band, right? I need more theme music. But I don't have it, so we just say, okay, next band. So there was this band from Montreal called Ought, and I think your brother, Jackson, and I kind of both started to like Ought around their second album, which must have been, God, I don't know, what would that be now? 7 or 8 years ago? Maybe like 8 years ago? I didn't look it up. Let's say it's probably about like 2014 or something. And we both really liked that album. And then saw them live a few years ago, and I was just like completely blown away how great they were. Their singer, Tim Darcy, he put out at least one solo album. And then there's another Ought album. And then Ought decided, we've run our course. No more Ought. Now there's a new band called Cola. And Tim Darcy and at least one other guy from Ought. Yeah, I think it's one other guy from Ought, right? And then a third guy who wasn't in Ought. They're kind of calling this their stripped down three person band. Simplify things. And it's called
the
Cola.
The two bands we're reviewing today both are four letter bands with three members. So
yeah, that's right. That's right.
Shout out to numerology fans out there. You know,
yeah, there's probably some deep meaning. Yeah.
Yeah. I bet there is.
I think I'd like to play some of it before we start trying to pigeonhole them or make descriptions or comparisons, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Cola is the band. The album is called Deep in View. I really like number six. Let's play that one, Water Table.
Thank you. to say. Catacombs and water mains. Feels like they're washing out. Looks like they're wanting out. Wasn't.
That's cola.
See, I don't want to. I know you're anti-labels at the start, but that could pass as a Protomotor song, in my opinion.
It's got a little bit of that. Yeah. No, that's cool. That's a high compliment as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
There are some tracks on here where they sound a little bit like the Strokes. And then I'm kind of mad at myself for making that comparison because I don't know, there's something about it that's like, I don't necessarily need to hear a retro album that sounds like the early Strokes. But when you come at it from the kind of the angle of like this is an offshoot band from aught, then it's cool. And then I try to just keep the Strokes thing out of my mind. yeah, I like it.
Yeah, Fire Talk Records, the record company, I'm a fan of. So I just realized looking at their album that that's who released it. So that's good stuff.
We're talking about labels, and now you're talking about the other kind of labels, right? Record labels.
Yeah.
Again, I've got to like give – every time I say this, I got to give credit to Barrett because he was the biggest proponent of this concept, but how record labels can be great because they can be curators of good music. So
yeah,
Fire Talk being another one. But there are some we have favorite labels on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Car Park Records, another good one. I think
we've talked about so many bands on Slumberland Records. And also, you know, of course there's Paisley Shirt we love, and there's there was one right on the tip of my brain right here. I'm sorry, label that I'm forgetting at this very moment, but Damably, they're great. You know what, I think I started to make a list because I was kind of like, I need to give more credit to the record labels, right?
Yeah. And Ghostly is another one. Ghostly Records,
that's cool. I didn't remember that one. So yeah, keep them coming.
They're all over the place, you know. Listen to find it. I think that's like a fun way to. You're right. It's definitely a fun way to discover new music. It's to sort of like, if you have an album you really like, see who recorded it, and then sort of branch out from there. It's fun to try new stuff like that.
Yeah, a couple I had noted when I started this list, and I'm gonna have to pick up this project. But Bobo Integral from Madrid has a bunch of cool bands on it. Saddle Creek has a lot of great bands. Trouble in Mind out of Chicago, they got some great stuff. So there, we had to shout out a few more. I'm sure there's only about like 15 or 20 more that are great that I should have mentioned. So sorry, people.
Hey, please email us your complaints.
Yeah. Do you have a pick from the Cola album?
Should I do earlier or later in the album?
Doesn't matter.
Oh, that's a tough one. Okay, I'm gonna do track 9, Fulton Park.
cola. And it's too bad we don't have a video podcast because Reese's cat would have just made an appearance.
Shout out to Juniper.
Yeah, she's cool.
She's, you might hear a meow if you listen hard enough. But yeah, I have an argument to start. When you first told me we'd be reviewing cola, you're like, I don't know if this is your thing, Reese. You like synthesizers, and this is all guitars and drums. And
yeah,
I'd like to say that song ends with a drum machine riff. So
yeah.
they can't get rid of it. You know, they can't get rid of all those synthesized sounds.
Yep.
And it also made me think about when people talk about guitar as an instrument and how that sort of shifts when you have like shoegaze or other genres that include a more like mass of pedals.
Sure.
And at what point there's a thought experiment, I guess, that was like, when does one thing become something else? And
right.
When does a guitar become more than a guitar if it's fed through enough pedals, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's
valid point there for sure.
Valid instrumentation.
Yeah.
Conversation.
Yeah. And you're right. You told me about that. I immediately went back and listened to that track and I'm like, oh yeah, he's right. All right. I think we're, if we have any consensus, I think the second half is really good. Cause I had two other tracks from the second half to pick. So let's go back to number 7, Gossamer. Cola.
Not to be confused with Pepsi.
Yeah. There'll be a band called...
Although that is... Yeah. Is Pepsi a band? I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Fanta was a band or something like that.
If you name your band after a famous brand, though, they probably, like, the giant corporation, like, comes down on you and sues you, right?
So yeah, I don't know. It depends on when the copyright is expired, right? That's some non-music news that I think coming up in the next year or two is the copyright for Mickey Mouse is going to expire. It's going to shock the Disney world to its core. And also, I will be releasing an album under the moniker Mickey Mouse, unrelated.
So I think that's really interesting. I think a copyright is good for the life of the author plus 50 years. That's what it used to be.
I think it's 75 years now, because I'm pretty certain that Disney lobbied to get that extended for this exact reason, so they can continue to keep those copyrights.
Mm. Wow, interesting. Wow, this could be the next legal battle we'll talk about on the podcast. We need to get get some serious disagreement. I keep thinking we have to have a brawl of some sort to generate more listeners.
I know you gotta find like a rival podcast to argue with on your podcast.
Start
and then,
taunting them.
Yeah, and then on theirs they'll be like these fuckers on this podcast. And
yeah,
they're once
terrible
you get
people,
like the cross contamination.
Yeah.
Those two podcasts, it'll bump your viewership.
It seems like maybe we need to go after somebody more famous so that we get all the attention from all the people, like Marc Maron or somebody like that. Or
yeah, Marc Maron's podcast, you know, fuck you, Marc Maron.
Who's the guy?
Who do you think you are?
Who's the guy that I'm getting him mixed up with Marc Maron now? Who's the guy that Spotify was making millions on and was really controversial?
Joe Rogan.
Oh yeah, Joe Rogan. See, I get Marc Maron and Joe Rogan mixed up. That's probably bad. You should know the difference.
That's worse than just. I think that's worse than just saying "fuck you, Marc Maron."
I just insulted Marc Maron, didn't I? Oh well.
Yeah. Now he's really pissed. Yeah.
Maybe that's all we need. Maybe I've done it now.
Yeah.
All right. Did you know that when we only had two bands to feature this week, so. Everybody go out and check out Dead and Cola. Did you know that when we finished that, the podcast isn't over yet?
Not yet?
Mm-mm, it's not over yet.
This is bonus content time for the listeners.
As a matter of fact, you stated that correctly.
It's the bonus song of the week. It's the bonus song of the week.
Did you prepare a bonus song of the week?
Oh, okay.
If you haven't, you can just decide. You get to play any song. You get to play any song you want, and there's no restriction whatsoever.
Any song? Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want, if you want to study on it, I can play the first one, or you can just blurt one out right now.
Oh my god! I can't. I gotta find the title of the song, but it is. It is a song by another four-letter band.
Okay.
Devo. Let's do Jocko Homo by Devo. I think that's a fun one, a fun bonus one.
You had some, like, basically you had some Devo music journalism, right?
I secondhand music journalism, for sure, yes. There is I'll shout out another podcast called Chapo Trap House, which I'm not going to suggest anyone listen to because I don't think it's worth it. But they're lovely people, and they interviewed one of the lead guys from Devo and talked about the concept of de-evolution, which is actually what the band stands for. Mm-hmm. So I forget the name. Cassales, I think, is his last name. Gerald Cassell, and he's still making music now, so you can check out his stuff too. But I think the people on this podcast interviewed and talked a bit about the Kent State Massacre, and that being something that inspired the members of Devo to start a what they called a performance art group, which eventually became a band, which sort of interested my, you know, evil socialist art school knowledge that I have. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, these old geezers are cool too. They're making cool music and they're not just being old. So
some of us try to do something other than just get old. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a good model to have.
Yeah.
Trying to do a little bit more than just be old. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It was a fun listen. I think you can probably look it up on YouTube and you can find like an interview like that. But yeah, it was a fun time. It was cool to hear sort of artist and political perspective of a musician. I think there's a lot of interception there that doesn't get talked about a lot. So it was cool.
All right, cool. This is Devo's track, Jocko Homo. That's Devo. Kind of a classic from 1978.
Yeah. I remember another thing they talked about was taking notes from advertisement videos for their videography and their music videos, which is, you know, cool counterculture stuff. You know, it's happening in the 70s, and I like to hope that it's still happening now. So that's fun.
Very cool. Fun choice. I think that is the first Devo appearance on the podcast.
And, really? Wow.
And they were. I didn't really connect with them all that much back at the time, but I did have several friends who just said they were really they really liked them. And I think they're one of those bands where there's a lot more depth there if you delve into it. And I kind of just heard the radio hits, kind of, and I didn't. And I saw them play. Like on Saturday Night Live with those pots on their heads and stuff. And
yeah, the little I don't know how you quite describe that uniform they have, but yeah.
Right, right. I wonder why they aren't still playing. Like, it'd be the perfect band to be doing like a reunion tour, and
they're still touring. I mean, they're making new stuff, but two of the original members have passed away now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably why then, yeah.
2014 or 13. So, yeah. But like I said, the original guy, you know, I forget a music video even that they shouted out in the podcast. But, yeah, it's really good stuff. They have a good cover of Satisfaction. I can't get
right.
No Satisfaction.
Yep. The Rolling Stones song. Yeah, it's one of their. I was looking up their most popular tracks, and I was thinking maybe this song would be right up toward the top. But there are several that are the big huge hit they had. Of course, is called Whip It. Another one called Girl You Want. That might be my favorite one. Girl You Want is really great. Mm-hmm. There's one called Uncontrollable Urge. Anyway, they got a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah.
Very cool. Fun. Good pick. Excellent.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to take it back to some vintage synths that you might appreciate. So the night that I mentioned this before, about a month and a half ago, I guess now, we went to Minneapolis and saw Fontaines D.C. And the same night, my friend Dave, who I had invited to come to the Fontaines show, he said, I can't do it because OMD is playing the same night and I'm going to that. So this is Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, also known as OMD. I just was listening to them a little bit again recently and thinking how great they were, and probably still are, and kind of thinking, damn, I missed that show. They should have been on consecutive nights, and I could have stayed for two nights, gone to both shows. Anyway, so I did not see them live. I have seen them live in approximately, what am I going to say here? Probably about 1980 or so. They played at the legendary Merlin's in Madison, and it was great. That's the last time I saw them. So, anyway, they've got so much great stuff, and just listen to the great old synth sounds on this track. It's from their first album, and it's called Messages. Classic stuff, right?
Yeah, that's good. I don't think I've ever heard of them before, but I like that.
Their first couple albums in particular are just really great. So I was looking up what equipment did they use. So apparently on this album, it says Korg Micro Preset, Selmer Pianotron, Vox Jaguar Combo Organ, Korg MS-20,
nice.
With two pads for triggering. Roland CR78 drum machine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those are live recorded drums. So one thing that was cool about them is they kind of had a wall of synth sounds, but they also had live drums and live bass guitar, which I thought the combination was just really great. So anyway, what a cool band. Sometime they'll hopefully keep playing for a few more years, and I'll eventually get to see them in their, you know, aging rocker status, which I'm really hoping to see. So there you go. That's my bonus song of the week.
Great bonuses, both of us. I hope the listeners are remembering that this originally costed $0 for them, and now we've not only boosted the price with the great coverage that we've had, but also further boosted it with these bonus tracks.
That's kind of what I figure. You know, you're like, we're maybe even at 50 cents already, and then you play the bonus tracks, we could be well over $1 in value.
I know.
So, you know, it's I hope that people appreciate that.
Something to think about, for sure.
Well, thank you, Reese. After a long day to the ocean and back, you're still ready to rock. And, of course, it's only right now it's 8:40 Pacific time. It's 10:40 here. So I'm totally.
Oh my God, I'm keeping you up.
Yeah, yeah. I told you, even if I'm an aging rocker, if I want to be a rocker, I got to be able to perform. Right.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Okay.
Well. Yeah. Thank you for having me on. It was a lovely time.
Thank you. And I kind of thought that, you know, when there's a Dead album, it's time to talk to Reese.
Yeah. But
there'll be more. There'll be more fun stuff. We'll have you on again.
I hope I have another album to play for y'all soon.
Yeah, yeah. Keep doing the music journalism, and we'll have you on again soon. All right, thanks. I think we might have made this over an hour. Could that be? I thought, boy, this is going to be a short one. So
I think we got it.
The content's incredible. It's gonna be. I'll chop it down to, when I take like 10 minutes of my mistakes out. It's gonna make it shorter, but you know, I think it's a solid hour. All right, thanks everybody. We will talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.